I do desire your prayers for a few moments of time. Acts chapter 9. Went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any on this way, where they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and that for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, one more time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this Bible. Lord, we thank you for the truth, Lord. Lord, we just need your touch for just a few moments of time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your help, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for the good songs, Lord, and the good testimonies, Lord, and everything that's been said and done. Lord, we just want to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I begin to think maybe about some, I know Saul is our example of a New Testament Christian. We know that he got struck down, and we know that we may not have got struck down like he did, but we know the Lord to get our attention when he's trying to save somebody or whatever the case may be. But the Lord's going to get our attention one way or the other, just like he did Saul. And then he saved him, made a new creature out of him, and he became a Christian. And that's our example of a New Testament Christian, a great example in the Bible, probably one of the greatest men in the Bible. But I thought, boy, how that is a great help the Lord to pin that down in the Bible for us, and that to help us that we might be better soldiers. But I thought, boy, how that our Christian values and our morals today, as we look around and see the things going on, and I realize that there's just some things that you just look for in a Christian, and you got some that claims to do right or claims to be saved, but live wicked as hell. But I tell you, folks, look at that, and it brings reproach upon the church, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's consequences for sin and for wrong. But I tell you, it makes a difference when we do right. I don't know There'll be much preaching or a lot of Bible reading, but I thought, boy, hell, that there's qualifications of being a Christian, just like there's qualifications for being a pastor. I mean, he wants it kept clean. He wants the office. There's a reason when the Lord saves an individual, they expect some things out of us, not just at the house of God. It's easy to come to the house of God and pay our tithes and dress up real pretty and put some smelly stuff on and all that stuff. But what does God expect? Man looks at one thing, but God expects some things out of us. Whether it be testify or pray or preach or sing or shout, run whatever God, the Holy Ghost of God, puts in our heart, we ought to be willing to do that. He said to let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify the Father. There's nothing any good about us, but we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be on the job, down at the grocery store. I tell you, it makes a difference. Boy, I tell you, it starts at home. I tell you, there's a lot of folks that need to learn how to dress. I tell you, see them out, trying to be right with God. Well, it makes me wonder about some folks. I tell you, they used to be old-timers. They'd get had power with God. I remember how they preached against TV and they preached against the way folks was dressing. But today, it don't seem to me, it's like water off a duck's back a lot of times. But God ain't changed his mind one bit. There's a code in the Bible. There's a dress code of modest apparel. I tell you, there's a difference. And that's what God expects at. Not just at the house of God, but he expects it at home. He expects it at the grocery store or wherever you might be. Expects me, if I'm down on the job, I'm to dress right. I'm to look like somebody. I tell you, they look at that. You know about a lost and dying world? They look at folks that claim to be right with God. And the way they dress, and the way they talk, the way they conduct themselves. We got a Bible, and there's codes in there for everything that goes on. The Lord's give us the recipe of everything that we need. I tell you, he's given us a code of how to talk, our conversation ought to be. He's given us a diet code. I tell you, it's how we're to eat, what we're to go by. I say, you don't believe me, just go by the Bible and just search the scriptures. The Lord's give us everything that we need. He give us a work code to go by. A man that don't work, I'll not eat.
Right. That's what he said.
Amen. There's a code for false prophets. Right. We ought to be able to discern. Walk out them doors. Or maybe there's some sitting among us sometimes. I don't know. But I tell you, we're to expect there to be some false prophets. And the devil's got his crowd. And the Lord's got his crowd. And he's given us a Bible and a Holy Ghost to help us discern some things. I tell you, that we ought to have some Christian values that stand for something and some morals. He's given us some values and some morals that we ought to have.
Yes, sir.
Maybe a lot of cases just threw out the door, but I tell you, God still expects that.
Yeah.
Whether it be my family or whoever it may be, God ain't changed his mind.
Right.
I thought, the Lord's got a code against alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Bible teaches that. You
preach right there.
And folks say, well, we just go to church and we're saved and we've been baptized. We've been baptized, but ain't made no change, still talk real bad. I drank every day after I get off of work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't care what denomination it is. It's all, you can talk to Baptists, you can talk to Church of Christ, Church of God. Methodist or whatever, and there's always seem to be somebody set aside that wants to do those things, and they want to tell me that they're right with God. I don't believe a word of it, because the Bible teaches me that to come out and be a separate people. I say the Lord's give us a reason. He's give us a Bible to go by. He didn't just put it in there just for it to collect dust. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
It's to help us that we might be better sold.
Yeah.
We go out them doors and to be that light that God's called us to be.
Right.
There's a code against buying lottery tickets.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. Got to have a little alcohol. Got to have a little scratch off.
Yeah.
It's called coveting. Thou shalt not covet. The world will love its own, and we ought to love our own. But sometimes it's all twisted around. You see, the home's out of whack. The man's he's not where he ought to be, and his wife's not, the wife's not where she ought to be, and the kids, whatever the kids want, that's just the way it goes. I say you can look around, you can go to an amusement park, you can go to the grocery store, and you see kids throwing a fit until they get their way. There's correction for that. There's a remedy for that. I don't care. I mean, I realized what I was when I was growing up. I got my share of spankings and whoopings and switches and bath and hole. I realized I probably should have had more. I don't know, but I got plenty of them. I remember that. But there's a reason for it. It'll make you a better person. That's why the Lord put that in there, the rod of chastisement, for a reason. I tell you, you can see an individual that has not been disciplined, and when they get older, you can see the problems. And there's plenty of them. Somebody has dropped the ball. Somebody has failed somewhere. Well, you ain't whooping my kid, and you ain't disciplining my kid. And the mom and the daddy, they against the teacher for or whoever the case may be. I tell you, it ought not be that way. It didn't used to be that way. Now you got to have a search warrant, a magnifying glass to get discipline. Get somebody, from the White House to the courthouse, I'm telling you. I'll tell you, we're in a bad shape, friend.
Yes, we are.
We need this. Folks need this one a lot of times. That's why the Lord chastises adults. He chastises. He loves his own. If he didn't, he wouldn't chastise us. I don't need somebody to come and tell me when I messed up, and you don't need somebody to come and tell you when you messed up. We've got a Holy Ghost of God, if we're born again, lives on the inside. It don't make me, when I get off of work, there's things on the inside that makes me not want to do things that other people do. Because there's consequences for sin. It don't excite me to go stop at the store and get me some alcohol or other things. I think there's a certain things that I don't do, that I see folks do, that disturbs me. But the thing is, sin don't seem to bother a lot of folks. They're proud of it. They boast. They want to boast about it and brag about it. Their lifestyle. But sin's still sin. And somebody's got to pay the consequences for it. And when the devil's got such a hold on folks, and he's got folks so blinded. Lost his eye on how he eats.
Yes, I got it. Good preaching.
I thought there's a code for living everyday life. It's called, we've got to fight Satan every day. There's an appetite for the Word of God. We got all kinds of codes for, we got all kinds of morals. Folks has got, a lot of folks is viewed out their own cistern in the area that we live in. They get mad at this person, this church, they'll go some and start another one. And then they want to talk about this church because they got mad at so-and-so, and the Lord ain't in that. We're in this to love one another.
Yep.
To bear one another's persons. We're to love one another. Yep. If somebody has a problem, we ought not go out and talk about them.
Right.
We ought to find an altar and work it out. It's not my job to go out and spread gossip about somebody. Right. If somebody's hurt your feelings, or somebody's made you mad, or if somebody done you wrong in a business dealings, God's give us a Holy Ghost and a conscience to go by. We ought to make things right. It's not everybody else's business what goes on at the house of God. It's between the individual and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my job to go to the job and put somebody down. You got somebody that's lost and you do stuff like that, that's something they'll never. You can do a million good things, and that one thing, they'll never forget it.
That's right.
I just the way the flesh works. I don't know. I don't. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But I just the way the folks are a lot of times.
Right.
There's a few verses I'd like to read. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Gratitude.
Yep.
Being thankful for what the Lord has given us.
Yeah.
And for not what we don't have, but we'll be thankful for what we do have.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't ever bless us again, if he didn't ever show up again, if we didn't have a Holy Ghost, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Integrity in the day that we live in.
Yeah.
Christian folks need integrity.
Yeah.
Isaiah 63:7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he hath bestowed upon us, bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Compassion. Having compassion in the era that we live in. One toward another. That's part of being a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, being saved, being born again, is having them characteristics. I thought, as I'd been studying, I thought, bro, I believe it's Brother Josh who got talking about being a Christian, being Christ-like, and I thought, boy, he's wearing my message out there. But I thought, well, but I'm giving you what the Lord's given me.
Go ahead, brother.
St. John chapter 13:34. And a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one to another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I thought we need that in the air that we live in. If the world will love its own, and the Lord loved us, he said he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's willing to put up with us, and he loves us with an unconditional love. And if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell tonight. But there's a special kind of love at the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, you don't love everybody like you love your spouse. But the Lord, he loves us. I'll tell you, there's just such an unconditional love in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us 66 books to go by. And there's all sorts of love in there. He's a precious God. He's a precious Savior. And the best that heaven had for me and you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times you act like you had never done nothing for us. Maybe a lot of times that he's never done much for us. And we look around and folks has got big cars and big houses and big bank accounts. But I've got a big God that takes care of my problems. I got a big God that squeezes me, hugs me up in his lap and loves on me. When death comes or when sickness comes and when problems come, we've got a Savior.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Generosity. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Yeah.
Learning to serve others.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you.
Right.
Showing kindness.
Right.
Titus chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faith, the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers.
Yeah.
Having self-control. First Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Amen.
Need some humble servants. In Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Christians ought to have joy.
Yeah.